It is a blessing every year to have the Marietta Bible College Choir with us to sing. We enjoy not only their singing, but their selection of songs that they sing. In a day with so much confusion in churches and so much change in musical styles, we like to get together and hear the old style songs and the hymns, and they are such a blessing. The words to the songs really touch our hearts. So we appreciate them coming, and we enjoy them so much. And then for the cherry on top of the cake, not on the cake, I guess the cherry's on the sundae. For the cherry on top of the sundae, we get to hear Dr. Giler preach also. And his messages are always quite a challenge to us and such a blessing to us. I'm going to invite Dr. Giler to come at this time and to give to us what the Lord has laid on his heart.
I'm glad to be here. When you're 85, you're glad to be anywhere.
I like to come to Baysville. It's my favorite place to come. We've been in 30 churches this year, but this is my favorite because we go to other churches. I don't know anybody. We were in East Liverpool the other night, and I didn't know anyone except the pastor and his wife. And we'll be in Canton Monday night, and I won't know anybody but the pastor and his wife. But when I come to Baysville, I see people I know. Don Mallory. He's the only person in the world older than me. Don's in his 90s. How old? How old, Don? 93. We've been friends a long time. Almost 90 years. Fred McGee, we've been friends a long, long time. That's right. That's right. But it's good to see you. Pastor Paul Harvey from Port Washington. Glad to see you, brother. Glad to see you here. Brother Dickinson, always good to see you. God bless you. Those students ate ground meat today. They ate your meat today before they came up here. And the visitor tonight that made my day is Marjorie Hurst Addis. I went to high school with her, graduated with her. And I haven't seen her, I don't think, for over 40 years, and walked in tonight and saw her. And Margie, so good to see you. God bless you. You made my day. You made my day to see you tonight. And thank you all for coming. Thank you. And for my joke, I tell every church we go to. I will be like Elizabeth Taylor told her 8th husband, I won't keep you long. And I won't keep you long. My Bible's open to the book of James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter. James is the first book ever written in the New Testament. It is the oldest book in the New Testament. It was written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Written before Romans. It's the oldest book. James was a half-brother of Christ and grew up in the same house with him. If you look carefully, you'll find there were 8 in that family. And there were not any big houses in Nazareth. And Jesus grew up in a house with 8 brothers, sisters, mother in Nazareth, and yet never sinned. Man, that proves he's God. I grew up with a brother and sister, and we almost killed one another. He He recognizes himself as a servant of Christ. He doesn't say, I'm his half-brother. I think I would have. But he was a humble man and said, rather than I'm a half-brother, I'm a servant. And he wrote to Jews, only to Jews, not to Gentiles. He wrote to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, all within a radius of 200 miles. But when Stephen got killed, stoned to death, and the Apostle Paul, before he was converted, was killing Christians, they fled. They left their house, furniture, livestock, everything they had, and fled and went into Gentile cities. They know their language many times. They were not skilled in the occupations of the Gentiles. They couldn't get a job. They're having a hard time. They've lost everything. And they're living with Gentile people. They don't know their language and they do not know their skills. And James writes to them and says the most remarkable thing. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation or many trials, many tests. If you're a Christian, God will keep testing you all of your life, one after another. He will test you. And we are to count it joy because it gives us opportunity in the hard time to stand up for Christ and witness for Him and testify of His grace. But my verse tonight is He wants these people to remember, and I'm preaching from one verse, those people scattered, having a hard time. Remember, verse 17, this is my verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good thing that comes to you is from above. It's from the Father. Father of lights. Isn't that wonderful? God, the Father, every day reaches down, takes something good, and gives it to us. Good gifts comes from Father. A good gift comes from heaven. With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I want to speak to you tonight, and I want you to notice before I preach that there are gifts that come down from God. Some are good and some are perfect. I'd like to go over on this side of the pulpit tonight and talk to you about good gifts and list two or three good gifts that God sent down to me. And no doubt to you. I put at the top of the list of good gifts, good parents. Amen. My mother was a tender-hearted woman that let you know every day of your life that she loved you and cared for you and do anything for you. If you were sick, she took care of you. I came home after basketball practice. She always had supper ready. Homemade bread. Big slice of homemade bread with cooked tomatoes on it. I was raised on that. Bread and tomatoes. That's better than the Jews. Sometimes they just had bread and water. I had bread and tomatoes. Homemade bread. Now, homemade bread's wonderful when it's first made. Smells good and tastes good. But after homemade bread hangs around for about 3 days, it gets tough. But we'd pour tomatoes on it and eat it. My dad go out there on the old hillside farm and work all day and plow with a hillside plow. Just enough, worked hard, never made any money, just enough to put food on the table and clothes on our back. He never put his arm around me in my life as I remember, and he never said, I love you, but I know he did because he worked hard to feed me. And he worked hard to put clothes on my back and give me a house to live in. I had good parents. They didn't know much about the Bible, but they knew a lot about God, that there were a lot of things he didn't like, and they told me what he didn't like. And my father's mother was a Christian. She died when he was young. But she must have taught him some scriptures, because I never saw my dad read the Bible, but he could quote scripture. He'd quote many verses of scripture to me, but I never saw him reading. But I thank God for my mother and father. I saw them both come to Christ. I baptized them both after they accepted Jesus into their heart. I had the privilege of baptizing my mother in a creek over by Calais and my dad in the church in Marietta. I thank God for my parents. That's a good gift, but not perfect. My parents weren't perfect, but it was good. They were good, but not perfect. And perhaps tonight you had good parents, but not perfect. Not perfect. Nobody ever had perfect parents. They're good, not perfect. And I come down a notch. What's another good thing God gave to me? Another good thing is men to teach me. Teachers. I was associated with some of the greatest preachers and Bible teachers. They said at one time Ian Paisley in Northern Ireland was the greatest preacher in the world, and I lived in his house with him week after week preaching for him, and I learned a lot from him. He'd been reading books since he was 6 years old. I never read a Christian book until after I was 20. But I learned a lot from him, and I knew some of the old preachers. They're all gone now. You feel kind of lonely. Those old great preachers I knew that taught me, and men that taught me in class and would stand and hold their Bible and teach you the New Testament and that. And then run on to a preacher once in a while that sort of took you under his wing. Earl Miller in Berlin, Ohio, an Amish man raised in an Amish home, became a Christian when he was an older teenager. Went to Moody Bible Institute and came back and started a church in Berlin, Ohio. It's there if you go up to Amish country. You see it on the corner. It's a beautiful big brick church. A converted Amish man built that church. And he was a friend of mine. Earl Miller's right leg was 6 inches shorter than his left leg. His shoe was built up that far, and he walked with a cane. He loved me, and I loved him. And he was a good teacher. When I was a young man, he took me under his wing. And I preached for him many times in Berlin up there. He came home one morning after he preached. His wife was an invalid. He had to take care of her and pastor the church. He had a custom. He'd bring a tape recorder and the tape of his message on Sunday morning and come home and put it on. They'd sit there and listen to it. His wife, an invalid, and him, she looked over, and Earl had died. And they called me and said, Earl Miller's gone. And I'd lost a good gift. God gave me that man to be a good friend. He was good. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. And you never had a friend that was perfect. But you've got good friends. I thank God for the good friends God's let me have in life. I don't deserve them. Wonderful, wonderful friends. Good friends, but not perfect. I think of parents, a good gift, but not perfect. I think of friends and teachers. Good. God gave them to you. Not perfect, but good. Then I read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that Paul told Timothy that all the good things, God gives you good things to enjoy. Enjoy. I've seen Christians that didn't think you ought to enjoy anything. If you did enjoy it, it was sin. That's not so. The Bible tells us to enjoy good gifts. Enjoy them. Well, I like to go deer hunting. I don't know why the deer run. There's no danger when I'm hunting. In fact, I think the other hunters ought to run. But I love to go out there because I like to look at trees. I like to see what God's done. I like to see squirrels hop through the woods, foxes, and other things. And once in a while, see a deer. I like that. You know, you don't have to be rich and have a castle to be happy. You can enjoy things if you don't have a nickel in your pocket. Just enjoy good things. I got a truck out there. It's got 130,000 miles on it. But I enjoy it. I enjoy it. And everything God gives us, every good thing, the Bible says He gives it to us to enjoy. So just enjoy it. Enjoy it. And He gives us good things. I got a truck out there. It's good, but it's not perfect. I got a house in Marietta, but it's good. It's not perfect. I have a church. Good. Not perfect. But He not only gives us good gifts, He gives us perfect gifts. Did you notice in the scriptures? It says good and perfect. Good gifts and perfect gifts. Now I got listed over here with good gifts. My parents, the teachers I've had, friends I've had, and good things to enjoy. That's over here. Good but not perfect. Over here, I got some perfect things God gave me. Number one, He gave me a perfect Savior. Amen. Jesus lived in that house in Nazareth and never sinned in word, thought, or deed. He said even of Himself, would you accuse me of sin? And Peter wrote, we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Christ had no blemish. He had no spot. He was perfect. He never sinned. You find me another religious leader in the world that never sinned. Find me one. They don't even pretend to have never sinned. But Jesus was perfect. Perfect. And I thank God for a perfect Savior. I don't have to worry if He was worthy enough to save me. He was perfect. He was worthy to die for me and be accepted. I have a perfect gift in a perfect Savior. I didn't have a Savior for 19 years. Walking the streets of Columbus, I went in an old theater building. A man was preaching. He told me about a Savior. He told me that that Savior died for me. And that He shed His blood for me. I never heard that. And when I heard that my salvation rested on one that died for me and shed His blood for me, I trusted Him as my Savior. I accepted Him as my Savior. He was perfect. A perfect Savior. And how wonderful when I read, he loved me. That's a big statement. Did you ever think of just reading in the Bible that Jesus Christ loved you? And I want to say, why? How could you? But his nature is love. And he loved me and he gave himself for me. He didn't give some money for me or some land for me or anything else. He gave himself. He died for me. He gave up his life for me. That's a good gift. That's a perfect gift. Amen. All right. I've got to hurry. Second, he gave me a perfect book. Amen. The Word of God. But the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. I told the students last week, that group that sang up here, I told them, I got books at home. I got a book by Spurgeon, he's dead. I got a book by Joseph Parker, he's dead. I got a book by F.B. Meyer, he's dead. I got a book by James Boyce, he's dead. Harry Ironside, he's dead. But every time you students, or me or you, open up our Bible, it's the only book in the world that the author is with you. He's not dead. He's with you. That's the reason David opened up the scriptures one day and looked up, because he knew the Lord was right there, and said, open my eyes that you can show me wondrous things out of thy word. Why did he say that? Because he knew the Lord was right there. And he's more than right there. If you have him as your Savior, when you read that book, he's in your heart telling you what it means. It's the only book in the world that the author is with you when you read it. Amen. Thank God for this book. Tells you how to be saved and how to be happy and what's coming in the future. Boy, that's great. He gave me a perfect book. For the law of the Lord is perfect. So perfect gift. I got Jesus. He's perfect. I got a Bible. It's perfect. And I'm through. But I've got a salvation that's perfect. When the work of my salvation was done, Jesus said, finished! It is finished! What was finished? The work that he did on the cross to save me. It was finished! Completed! Perfect! Never need to be another thing done for you to be saved! Never another ritual or an act to go through. On the cross, he did everything needed to do to save your soul from hell. He paid for it on the cross. It was a perfect salvation. A perfect salvation bought by him. Now, I got good gifts. I had good parents. Good teachers, good things to enjoy, not perfect, but good, but I got perfect things, I got salvation, I've got Jesus, I've got the Word of God, perfect, Christ is perfect, and my salvation is perfect, and it concludes with the Lord. There is no shadow of turning. Now you get up in the morning, the sun shining on your house, it's casting a shadow. But 12 o'clock noon, you look, that shadow has moved. You look at a tree in your backyard, the sun shines on it, there's a shadow. But by noon, or the end of the afternoon, the shadow has moved. In God, there is no variableness. neither shadow of turning. God doesn't move. He doesn't save you one day and the next day say you're not saved. He doesn't move. When He saved you once and for all. It's perfect salvation. When He gave you the Bible, He doesn't say, well, there's another one better. That's changing. And in Him is no shadow of turning. He never changes. Man tries to change Him. Churches try to change Him. But God doesn't change. He told Malachi the prophet, I change not. So I have a perfect Savior, a perfect Bible, and a perfect salvation given to me by a God that never changes. Amen. Okay, Pastor, you come up. And when you get through or whatever you want to say, I want to say one more thing.
Okay. Let's all stand together this evening, if you would. Join me. Mrs. Geiler, if you would help us again on the piano. Let's take a song book. We can't help but when we hear the Word of God proclaimed so well to search our hearts and make sure that we are open to what God has for us. This evening, as Dr. Geiler has enumerated some of the good gifts in his life, I'm sure you were thinking about your own life and your parents and the things that God has given you that are good. And when's the last time you thanked Him for them? I saw recently somebody said, if you woke up tomorrow morning with only the things that you thank God for today, what would you have? And too many times we go on not thanking God for the good gifts He's given us. Maybe tonight you need to thank Him for that perfect gift, a perfect Savior, a perfect Bible, a perfect salvation. So we're going to sing a song of invitation, and I have no idea which one it is because I just got up here. And let's try, I'm not usually the guy that leads these songs, so let's just go to page 244 and sing a couple of verses of Amazing Grace. And either where you're standing tonight or here at the altar, if you are able to, for just the next few minutes, let's thank God for every good and perfect gift. Amen. Would you just take a few minutes to thank God for it? Amen. Where you're at or here at the altar, thank God for every good gift and thank God for every perfect gift. As we sing a couple verses of page 244, Amazing Grace.